The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
A mid-air emergency on a flight from the U.S. to Europe, not because of turbulence, but due to a COVID scare on board.
Fudio spent around 3 hours quarantining in the plane's bathroom after she took a COVID test mid-flight.
I just all of a sudden, this severe sore throat came on. I thought, okay, I'm just going to take a test. It's going to make me feel better. And immediately it came back. It's positive.
Fudio, who is vaccinated and boosted and traveling with family, says she immediately told a flight attendant who tried to find a place where she would be least at risk of spreading the infection. Fudio made good use of the time alone, making a TikTok video of her experience, which has been viewed more than 4 million times. When she landed in Iceland, she quarantined for 10 days in a hotel room this time.
A true hero, this woman. She no doubt saved tens of... Well, maybe not tens of thousands, hundreds of lives, I suppose, by self-isolating in the airplane lavatory. Pretty amazing. This is what passes for news. As we head into a new calendar year, 2022, much of the same. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. We're broadcasting live on CRN Digital Talk Radio. That's Channel 3 on their platform. And, of course, the live video stream, that's available exclusively, although we did post one of our year in reviews on YouTube last week. And last I checked, it was still up, so that's nice to see. But the live broadcast in this age of censorship, blotting out the Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, she just was blotted off of Twitter. Dr. Robert Malone, we'll talk more about him as we proceed. So you can see why we had to, about a year ago, I guess it was, start broadcasting our programs on our website, where it's safe, at least for now. That's thetrumpet.com. You can go to thetrumpet.com/live to get to our live stream page and also to the podcast page if you'd like to listen later on demand. So here's this woman. She's vaccinated. She's gotten the booster. So she's triple jabbed. She travels with COVID tests because she's got to be sure or certain in case she comes down with a runny nose or a sore throat or maybe fatigue. And so she tests herself and sure enough, she tests positive. Three jabs. She wears the masks. She wears the Lloyd Austin face shield. He caught the COVID recently as well. Triple jabbed. This is the U.S. Secretary of Defense. They wear the Star Wars face shield. And they still get the disease. They still get the COVID. And so she self-isolates. But she made good use of the time. She was able to produce a TikTok video. It's been seen by 4 million people. And CNN, we condensed it to about a minute, but they've got, they've got a 2-minute segment, 2 minutes plus on this woman traveling in an airplane, self-isolating, as I say, much of the same as we head into 2022. This is an article headline from the Daily Mail. Richard sent this over in his news stack today. It says, a new study has found that those who are worried about the COVID-19 pandemic are slower at processing information, worse at retaining information, and more likely to overestimate negative odds that they're than their less anxious counterparts. In other words, you're getting sicker mentally if you're falling for all of the scaremongering. They've tried it all the way through to Omicron, and of course that's turned out to be somewhat of a dud. But they'll still, no doubt, try to milk this for everything that they can. The messaging, though, and I mean it is changing. As I said at the end of last week, And we'll get to, you know, the big narrative that they're going to be pushing this week as we come up to the January 6th anniversary. That's all that they talked about on the Sunday shows yesterday. The assault on democracy. So we're going to be hearing a lot about that. But going back to this study, it says the study conducted by this university, it was on 1,500 Americans, says the authors concluded that people more worried about coronavirus and its effects performed worse at information processing tests and had a distorted view of risk levels. So those consuming fake news, all the scaremongering on the fake news, they, surprise, surprise, they end up with a distorted view of risk levels. That's why you need the Trumpet Daily, by the way. You need it every day. So that I got one humorous bit of feedback from someone that actually didn't like the montages. 99.9% of the people did that view this program. They look forward to that end of the calendar year. And to just look at the year in review, as I said last week, I mean, it's surprising some of the things that happened way back in February or March of last year. You forget about it. It's hard to believe all that is condensed into just a 12-month period. In any event, this viewer said, yeah, I didn't like the montages. Too many clips from the mainstream news. I don't like to watch the mainstream news. He tries to stay away from it. So he told me to tell him or to let him know when we get back to a montage-free Trumpet Daily. Well, we're back at it here at the start of another what will be a busy week, I'm sure. Richard also pointed out in his news stack that over the weekend, I guess this is typical on the first weekend of a new calendar year in the UK, the Queen publishes a list of those that she's going to make a knight or give medals to or give the title of Sir or Dame to. And this year, I mean, the list is just all of these COVID people, all of the health experts that in many cases got us into this. The health experts that have kept us in this, and now they're the ones who are lionized. They're praised. They're knighted in some cases. Professor Chris Whitty in the UK. He's now Professor Sir Chris Whitty. This is from The Guardian. It says the CMOs of Scotland and Wales, Dr. Gregor Smith, Dr. Frank Atherton, are also to be given knighthoods. As is the deputy medical officer for England. All the medical officers. They ought to throw in Big Pharma. Give one to the CEO of Big Pharma and Pfizer. Moderna. It says here, the continued fight against coronavirus once again featured heavily in this year's honors list. And it just goes through all the names. I mean, given how ridiculous this list is, the only surprise really is that Neil Ferguson wasn't on it. The one that said millions and millions would die and we need lockdowns forever. And then he was exposed as a fraud, as a hypocrite. And maybe he'll make next year's list. We'll have to wait and see. Listen to Dr. Fauci. See if you can wrap your mind around this logic from Anthony Fauci, clip 9.
We are seeing people who are vaccinated and boosted who are getting breakthrough infections. Boosted. And that's the reason why I've been saying, when asked about the holiday season, the safest thing to do is to be in a home setting, friends, relatives who you know are vaccinated and boosted.
So he admits, on the one hand, that the breakthrough cases, they're hitting the vaccinated. And so his recommendation for all the holidays is to get together, if you're vaccinated, just only spend time with other people who are vaccinated. You know, like the woman in the lavatory. I guess if you got it on that plane, you might as well get into the lavatory with her. Just stay with the boosted people and you'll be fine. Even though the boosted people are getting the infection, they're getting the virus. Secretary of State, or the Secretary of Defense, I should say. Lloyd Austin. There he is. All done up. You got to be safe. Dr. Fauci says, yes, if you're vaccinated, just hang out with the vaccinated. This is also from The Guardian. It says Adam Peaty and the and the diver, Tom Daly, received OBE. So they were also honored by the royal family, by the Queen in the UK, not only for coming home with gold medals, but also for raising awareness of mental health and LGBT issues. So look, if you're a health official, if you're raising awareness for LGBT issues, you're going to be honored and praised by the Queen of England. What a testimony to where we are in these last days. 2 Timothy 3, these are the people who are honored. The ones that are living upright lives, they, like the Bible says, they make themselves a prey. They've got to look out. They have to watch out. If you're normal, if you hold to traditions, if you dare uphold biblical principles of morality, well, then you ought to be targeted. These are the people that we're praising now. It's the health officials. It's the LGBT community and all the other letters that they've since added on to that. Listen to this from Australia. You want to get, again, a bit of a truth bomb here. So many lies, so much deception. This is from a report that played, I believe it was Friday afternoon. We've told you about the VAERS updates. I'll give you those numbers here in just a second as well. They're updated. Every Friday, we find out how many people in the United States have reported deaths as a result of the vaccine. Listen to this report from Australia, clip one.
Well, doctors say the benefits far outweigh the risks, but as the vaccine rollout now ramps up through the booster phase, there are a rare few who suffer serious side effects. Now the federal government is offering compensation for anyone who becomes seriously ill after having their COVID shot.
It's been a long road to recovery for Matty John.
It's a really uncomfortable and quite a frightening experience.
He felt like he was having a heart attack 2 days after getting the Pfizer vaccine.
I just got this sharp pain that I've never experienced before in the centre of my chest.
Diagnosed with severe pericarditis, he was off work for 10 weeks.
You're constantly worrying, I suppose, that anxiety around, I suppose, we're talking about your heart.
Maddie's not alone. It's estimated 79,000 people have suffered adverse reactions to vaccines. Now the government's offering compensation.
79,000? The guy that set up the segment, that reporter said, the rare few that have these adverse reactions. How many people does Australia have? 23, 24 million? 79,000? And then they've got the individual case that they highlight there. The guy that had to miss work for 10 weeks. He's fit. He's healthy. He's young. Severe case of myocarditis or pericarditis, whatever the ditis it is. A rare case. Felt like he was having a heart attack. And now the government, not Pfizer, not Moderna, they're protected. They wouldn't have given their drug to Australia if they didn't have that. They're to be protected and shielded from any kind of liability. But the government of Australia, they're now paying out to these victims, to these people that have adverse reactions to the drug, the vaccine. These are the updated stats from VAERS up through December 24th. 16,470 more reports of adverse reactions. This is in the United States. So if you've been following, we've been giving you these statistics the last few weeks on this show. And if you've been following us, it's anywhere from 16 to 18, 19, 20,000 new reports every week. This news report out of Australia says an estimated 79,000, just a rare few, just a rare few. Right, right. We better be paying attention here. These are the kinds of reports. CNN's not going to do a 2-minute segment on this. I mean, congratulations at least to the Australian station that put this on the air. But still, how are these reporters, how are they reporting this with a straight face? Now we know just a rare few get, and in the same report, 79,000. They should be trumpeting this every single day on that station, as should CNN. As it is, you get a 2-minute segment on this woman, this self-righteous woman, who is so proud of herself and what she did. I immediately took the test. I put myself in the airplane bathroom. And then, of course, this is totally normal. She spent 10 days in a hotel in Iceland. No problem, right? Everyone can do that. So she's got a test in her purse. She's got the mask, the shield. She's got 3 jabs. She's got enough money to stay 10 nights in an Iceland hotel. Welcome to 2022, I guess. This is just normal, right? Perfectly normal. If your eyes are open to what's happening, you see that people are dying and suffering on a mass scale. And now the government's paying out. It's paying out in Australia. 380 more deaths reported in the United States. That puts us up over 21,000 reported deaths. And this is through December 24, so we're still talking about 2021. Over 21,000 reported deaths. 1,385 more cases admitted for urgent care in the hospital. Listen to the rest of this report from Australia, clip 2.
I think it could cost the government a lot of money.
But like all schemes, there are limitations. To make a claim, you must spend at least one night in hospital. And that's a clause that makes Matty John ineligible. He was admitted to hospital twice, but never stayed the night.
It is a little bit frustrating and out of pocket a fair bit, but in saying that too, it is what it is, and that's life.
It is what it is, that's life. He had to miss 10 weeks of work, but no compensation for him because he didn't stay overnight in the hospital. The world is in chaos right now. A world in crisis, as we said on the program last Friday. An attack, in the case of the United States, you've got an attack on the southern border. You've got all of these excess deaths happening in Australia, in the United Kingdom. In the United States, this is from over the weekend as well. Dr. Malone, Robert Malone, drew attention to this story out of Indiana. And he was on with Joe Rogan, by the way, because Dr. Malone, he takes a different opinion as to what's happening with the fight against COVID and the harmful side effects of these vaccines, these experimental drugs. So he gets banned from Twitter. Goes on Joe Rogan's podcast for 3 hours. I mean, the message is getting out. As I've said before, people like Rogan and others are very popular. But it's so transparently obvious what's happening from Big Pharma, from Big Tech, from CNN, big media, as they try to blot out the truth. It's all, with them, it's all about the narrative. It's all about the lie. It's all about will worship. We'll talk more about that here in just a second. But this is the head of the Indianapolis-based insurance company called One America. This was the CEO of that company, or is the CEO of that company. And it's from a virtual chat or some kind of seminar or a press conference, whatever you want to call it, that went on, I believe, right at the end of December, just a few days ago. So last week. And this is $100 billion insurance company. And listen to what this CEO had to say about some of the insurance claims that his company is having to pay out. This is clip 10.
We are seeing right now the highest death rates we have ever seen in the history of this business, not just at One America. The data is consistent across every player in that business. Now, this is primarily working age people, 18 to 64, that are in employers like all the employers on the screen here. And what we saw just in third quarter, and we're seeing it continue into fourth quarter, is that death rates are up 40% over what they were pre-pandemic.
Now, that's just one insurance company, but it's not a small one. It's a $100 billion company. And he's seeing death rates up 40%. And these are working age people. This is not grandma in the nursery home, the nursing home. This is not grandma who's got the two comorbidities. These are working age people, 18 to 64. And keep in mind, this CEO, before this clip I played for you, before that, in his statement, he was talking about how that, you know, everybody, 84% of the people at his company are vaxxed. You know, the people working at his company. And a lot of them, quite a few of them, are like this woman on the airplane. They're not willing to come back to work with an unvaxxed employee. So he's pro-vaccine. And at the same time, he's reporting all of these mysterious excess deaths. 40%! Listen to him again. This is clip 11.
Now, just to give you an idea of how bad that is, a three sigma or a 1 in 200 year catastrophe would be 10% increase over pre-pandemic. So 40% is just unheard of.
A 1 in 200 year catastrophe would be a 10% rise in the mortality rate or the excess deaths. 40%, unheard of, he says. It would be nice if CNN maybe would do a segment on this man and what's happening in his company. One final clip from him. This is, again, CEO Scott Davison, I think is his name, clip 12.
It may not all be COVID on their death certificate, but deaths are up just a huge, huge numbers. We're also seeing an uptick in disability claims. At first, it was short-term disability claims, and now we're seeing long-term disability, whether it's long COVID or whether it is because people haven't been able to get the health care that they need because the hospitals are overrun. We're seeing those claims start to take up as well. And for One America, we expect the costs of this are going to be well over $100 million.
So there you go. That's at the front lines. And that's the third quarter. And he says the stats are the same for the fourth quarter. What's it going to be like in 2022? As the push continues, you've got to get the vaccine. I mean, look at what they were doing in the Netherlands over the weekend. If these are protesters. Protesters, you can show clip 8. This is happening in the Netherlands, and there's scenes like this happening all over the world. People, look at the dog going after the protester. He's being swung to the ground. And then the police with the batons. Yeah, they're smashing people. It's because it's for your health, you see. We got to keep people healthy. I mean, this is unbelievable. Can you imagine if there was a scene like this during one of the Antifa protests or riots, to be more precise? If this was happening in the summer, if law enforcement got out the batons and started bashing people, bashing Antifa and Black Lives Matter, can you imagine what the propagandists in the media would be doing with this a year and a half ago? It's pretty amazing what we're witnessing. Dr. Robert Malone, he said in response to this report out of Indiana, the CEO, who said that there's 40% more deaths. Dr. Malone says, it's starting to look to me like the largest experiment on human beings in recorded history has failed. So that's why he's banned from Twitter, because you can't say that the vaccine has been a failure. He has to go to Joe Rogan just to bring this out. He went on with Rogan, by the way, over the weekend to talk about this mass formation psychosis. Or as he put it, this is from a December piece that he wrote, mass hypnosis, the madness of crowds, the madness of all these people that just go along, 84% at this insurance company. I'm not going back to work unless everybody's vaxxed, like this woman on the airplane, triple jabbed, like the Secretary of Defense, triple jabbed, face mask, face shield even. Dr. Malone says, at a minimum, based on my reading, one has to conclude that if this report holds and is confirmed by others in the dry world of life insurance actuaries, We have both a huge human tragedy and a profound public policy failure of the U.S. government and the U.S. HHS system to serve and protect the citizens of the nation. He says, at worst, this report implies that the federal workplace vaccine mandates have driven what appear to be a true crime against humanity, massive loss of life in presumably workers that have been forced to accept a toxic vaccine at higher frequency relative to the general population of Indiana. It says here, furthermore, we have also been living through the most massive, globally coordinated propaganda and censorship campaign in the history of the human race. The most globally coordinated propaganda and censorship campaign in the history of the human race. He says all major mass media and the social media technology companies have coordinated to stifle and suppress any discussion of the risks of the genetic vaccines and or alternative early treatments. See, it's not that you can't even criticize the vaccine. You can't even get into alternative treatments. You can't even get into, you know, giving someone ivermectin if they actually get the COVID. It's just all about the jab. Jab, jab, jab. Mass formation psychosis, he calls it. You just go back to the Trumpet magazine. This is from May of 2020. My father in that piece talked about Hitler and the big lie and will worship. Colossians 2 gets into that. But it says here, Hitler believed if you tell a big lie and repeat it enough, people would believe it. And then he goes on to quote Hitler, what he said in Mein Kampf. And then my father makes this point. We have not learned from this history as we should. Could something similar happen today? Could it happen in America? My father wrote this almost 2 years ago. Leave aside what Dr. Malone said in December, just a few weeks ago. This is from the Trumpet magazine. Tomorrow's news today. Could it happen in America? Could someone stir up a political revolution simply by repeating a blatant lie over and over until people come to believe it? A blatant lie over and over. Here we are coming up to the January 6th anniversary. The protests that went awry last year, but that was, we now know, provoked, incited by FBI agents or informants, incited by the media. People like CNN, individuals at CNN that were basically posting on chyrons in the early morning hours of January 6th. Yet, yeah, there's a riot. And they hadn't even yet descended on the Capitol. It was a complete and total setup. And now here we are in all the talking heads yesterday. The January 6th Commission, Liz Cheney getting up there saying that, yeah, this is not partisan. That's why Nancy Pelosi kicked all the Republicans off, except for the two rhinos. She wanted a partisan effort, and she got it. And for Liz Cheney to go on TV and say, yeah, this is not partisan at all. I mean, we're just concerned about America and this assault on democracy, as they call it. Listen to, I believe this is Liz Cheney from over the weekend, clip 3.
The committee has firsthand testimony now that he was sitting in the dining room next to the Oval Office watching the attack on television as the assault on the Capitol occurred. But I think it's also important for the American people to understand how dangerous Donald Trump was.
Donald Trump was watching the news on January the 6th. And he's a dangerous man. And as she makes clear in her interviews from over the weekend, it's all about preventing him from ever, ever becoming a Republican nominee again. She's on a mission. She's on a mission. Listen to her again from yesterday, clip 4.
I think that the way that the Select Committee is working is nonpartisan. But as Republicans, we have a particular duty to reject insurrection, to reject what happened on January 6th, and to make sure that Donald Trump is not our nominee and that he's never anywhere close to the reins of power ever again.
She's saying the silent part out loud, basically. the whole goal here, just like it was with impeachment one and then impeachment two. The goal is to keep Donald Trump out of the White House. She said it. She said it. Now, I mean, coming back to January 6th, listen to what CNN was saying yesterday. This is Brian Stelter talking about January 6th and talking about how the protest was covered last year. Clip 5.
But on the topic of that day and the cell service and the lack of full awareness, I think it's really important to remember it didn't look as bad on TV as it actually was. It took several days to reckon with just how violent this was. So in other words, it was worse than it looked on live TV. And that's why people like you have been having to tell people what really happened.
We need people like that other guy across the table to tell us what really happened, because when we look at the footage, you see, it doesn't look as violent as it actually was. These are the same people that told us when we, all of us, were looking at violent footage in the summer of 2020, they told us it's not violent, it's mostly peaceful. And then they get to January 6th when it was mostly peaceful, and they say, oh yeah, I mean, it didn't look violent on screen. It didn't look violent on the media coverage of it, but it was. You got to believe us. Well, I mean, if you take his logic, and supposing Donald Trump was watching the news, like Liz Cheney says, we've got witnesses that say Donald Trump was just watching the news. Well, Brian Stelter just said the news made it look like it really wasn't that violent. You know what Donald Trump did. Within hours, he came out and said, go home. Just go home. This is not what we want. These are the people, Brian Stelter, Liz Cheney, they're the ones that were stirring it up. They wanted it to be violent. Listen to this next. This is the reporter across the way from Brian Stelter. And he was on the front lines, and he's never been able to quite recover from it. Clip 6.
I mean, one hallmark of post-traumatic stress disorder is sort of having flashbacks and almost eerily clear memories. And for me, the single one that really haunts me is this moment when I was on the phone with my editor. So I was so aware of the possibility of gunfire and trampling in addition to the violence that went out around me. And frankly, I mean, the police officers talked about this in the July hearing with the Select Committee. They held back from shooting.
They held back from shooting? One of them shot Ashley Babbitt and killed her. They did fire. They did shoot. But you see, in this world, in the world that this reporter and Brian Stelter live in, Ashley Babbitt never happened. It doesn't count. All that counts is what gunfire might have happened, what violence there might have been. The two people that died directly as a result of the mayhem were Trump supporters. And here he is, and we're a year on. We're almost a year removed from this protest. And he says they held back from shooting. No, that's what they did in 2020. In the case of this protest, they actually did shoot. They actually did fire away. They were firing flashbangs. They were firing smoke grenades. They were inciting the crowd. And the footage reveals this. If you want the footage to show that it was actually violent, Brian Stelter, well, then demand that the Capitol release the 10,000 of hours of footage so that we can actually see what happens, not from camera angles behind the crowd, but from coming into the Capitol, besides the cell phones that we have of that. But show all the footage. They don't want to do it because it's all about, you just take this reporter's word for it. He was there after all. And it didn't look as violent as it actually was. That's why we need this guy on a roundtable discussion to tell us what actually happened. You tell a lie, like my father said, and we'll worship. You tell a big lie often enough and people just go along. Look at how people have reacted to the scaremongering that's just been on the airwaves every day for almost 2 years. We need the spirit of truth. We worship God in spirit, as John 4:24 says, in spirit and truth. We need both. We need God's guidance so that we can see through all of the lies and the deception that the devil has just covered this earth with. He's deceived the whole world. Revelation 12 and verse 9. I'd encourage you to go back to the Will Worship article. It's May of 2020 in the Trumpet. I had a conservative treehouse piece here that I wanted to get through as well, where the point that he makes is that just how important this narrative is for the communist left, because Omicron's turned out to be a dud. The economy is collapsing. Gas prices are twice as high as they were a year ago. The southern border is wide open. The kids are in cages. You've got the supply chain crisis. You've got all of these crises. And at Conservative Treehouse, the point that he makes is just how desperately in need of some kind of narrative, in this case, the January 6th so-called insurrection, the insurrection hoax, that'll, I'm sure, take top billing in the next few days of the news cycle here in the United States. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can email us, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
In recent shows over the last, I guess the last couple of weeks, actually, the study's kind of stretched out because we've had some other things we've addressed along the way, like the end of the year montages. But we've emphasized in particular Jesus Christ and just what he did to stir up the Spirit of God, just like the Apostle Paul admonished Timothy to do in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. He said, you've got to stir it up. You've got to stir up that power. You don't want to quench the Spirit. You don't want to grieve the Spirit, Timothy. So use the spiritual tools that you have to really stir up that gift of God. In Matthew 14, you can read there about the miracle of the fish and the loaves. There's a longer account on that in John chapter 6. And in the John 6 account, it talks about how that the crowd, this multitude that was fed miraculously, they wanted to go and make Jesus king right then and there. They wanted to put a crown on his head. It's a stunning miracle. And following that, we've read through the other accounts in the Gospels where Jesus, when he was on his way to anoint this girl that was about to die, she actually did die and then was raised back to life. Jesus was touched by a woman who was sick in this crowd, and she was healed from head to toe. And Christ discerned the drain on the virtue, as he called it, or the Spirit of God, the power of God. Following this miracle with the fish and the loaves, notice what it says in verse 23. This is in Matthew 14. It says here, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So Jesus knew he needed a spiritual recharge. He knew he needed to load up his spiritual batteries. I mean, he had just performed this astounding miracle with the fish and the loaves from 1972. This is a good news article. It says Christ had just expended dynamic miracle-working power, as in the miracle of the healing of the woman. There must have been a heavy drain on his spiritual battery, so he went immediately to the source of all power in prayer to be spiritually recharged. See, when we're drained, or when we're really spent, we've really given our lives to God this day or this particular activity or whatever it might be, that's when we really need to return to our Maker, our Creator, and cry out for more energy, for more power, for more of God's Spirit. And this is how you stir it up. Verse 24, notice this. It says, but the ship, this is right after he went up into the mountain to pray. And then it says here, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Kind of an understatement, if you ask me. Just walking on water? Yeah, Jesus Christ walking on the sea. Another tremendous miracle. This is a man who was filled with God's power. This was a man who stirred up that Spirit of God in him every day, multiple times each day. It says in verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So, again, we don't know all of the specifics on how close this event was or how closely connected it was with the fish and the loaves, but it just says it in the same account. This was a tremendous miracle. Then Christ said, okay, I've got to go up into the mountain to pray. And then when evening was come, he was alone. And then verse 24, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. So the indication is it's just all happening on the same day. He went away to be spiritually recharged, and then he came down from the mountain. He sees the ship that the disciples are on being tossed to and fro, and then Jesus goes out to the ship walking on water. This is, again, from that Good News article. It says, Jesus wanted to continue operating at peak power. He could not afford to allow that force to diminish or dissipate. Immediately after this, he once again performed another mighty miracle by faith and the power of God's Holy Spirit, that of actually walking on the sea. So right after the fish and the loaves, right after feeding thousands of people miraculously, after recharging his spiritual batteries, and then he's there walking on the sea, walking on water. You'll remember, many of you, that Peter then, he jumped out onto the sea, and while his gaze was fixed on Christ, he was actually walking on water too. But then when he started to look around at the wind and the clouds and so on, he lost that faith, that bit of faith that he had, and he immediately started to sink. And Christ said to him, why did you doubt? I mean, you were doing great. If you keep your focus on Christ, the head, you're going to be okay. God's going to take care of you. If you follow the faith of Jesus Christ, then you too can walk on water, so to speak. What did Jesus say in the Gospels? Look, you're going to be performing greater miracles in the last days. You're going to see more miracles because I'm your advocate. I'm going to go to the Father for you. You can go to the Father direct. And then we've got an advocate, an encourager, a helper, an intercessor. that goes to the Father for us as well. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Notice this again, a wonderful verse, a memory verse. It ties right in with 1 Peter 2:21, following in the steps of Jesus Christ. Christ, as I say, I mean, he really stirred up the Spirit of God. Here in Galatians 2 and verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, Paul writes. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is how I live my life, the Apostle Paul wrote. I'm crucified with Christ, and yet I live, but it's not I. It's Christ who lives in me. It's Jesus Christ coming again in the flesh. 1 John 4:2 says, Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is coming, it should read, in the flesh is of God. He is coming in the flesh of those who have repented before God and who in faith believe. And then they're filled with Christ's faith after the laying on of hands and the receipt of God's Holy Spirit, that power that we need to stir up. Philippians 2:5 says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We have to let it in. We have to let in the mind of Christ. We have to stir up the Spirit of God. We have to live unto God, just to go back to that passage in Galatians 2. I'll take you over to Ephesians. Notice what Paul said in Ephesians 3. Here we this beautiful prayer that Paul utters for the brethren. He really wanted God's people to be filled with power. That's what you see here in this chapter, Ephesians 3, verse 16. It says that God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He's praying for God's people. This is a prayer here. And he's praying for them to be strengthened, for them to be empowered by God, for them to be empowered by the Spirit of God. Verse 17 says here, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Only the Holy Spirit, you see, can really fill us with the power we need and give us the strength we need to mortify the deeds of the flesh and to be led by the Spirit of God, as Romans 8 says. We'll go there in a second. To let the mind of Jesus Christ in. Verse 18, it says, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, that you can understand, you see, this truth, this precious truth, this plan of God, this purpose as it's being worked out here below. Verse 19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a bold prayer by the Apostle Paul. And over in Hebrews 4, we're told to come boldly before the throne of God. This is the way Paul went before the throne. And he prayed for the people of God, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. God wants to fill our lives. He does that by the power of his Spirit. And that's a power we need to stir up like Jesus did, like the Apostle Paul did, like Timothy did. That's Spirit. That's our lifeline, spiritually speaking. That's everything. That's why we're here, to receive of that power, to receive of that inheritance. That's what it is. It's a down payment of our eternal glory in the kingdom of God. Verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's one of my favorite scriptures right there. We serve a God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or even think. This is the God we serve. This is our great miracle-making Father. This is the God who parted the Red Sea. This is the God who miraculously brought the Israelites out of Egypt. This is the God who created the universe. Romans 8 and verse 14. Here again, this ties right in with Philippians 2 and verse 5, which we quoted earlier. But verse 14 of Romans 8, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The Spirit of God, you see, it has to lead us. It's not going to push us. It's not going to drag us. It leads. Jesus Christ, if he's coming again in the flesh, he's leading out front, and we've got to follow in his steps. We've got to be humble enough to follow the Holy Spirit's lead. The power of God, as it leads us, in the Last Hour book, my father writes this, "Does God directly guide you?" It says the sons of God are led by the Spirit. God directly guides and leads them. He doesn't force them. Obedient sons voluntarily submit to their father. Parents who love their children in the right way inspire a deep love from their children in return. It says that's what God is doing with us. Christ set the example of obeying the Father. See, our elder brother, Jesus Christ, he set the perfect example for us in the way that he went boldly before the throne of God, in the way that he obeyed the Father. And then it says here, if Christ is coming in our flesh, he does the same in us. I mean, he lives the same way. That same spirit of humility, that same willingness to follow God, it's going to be there because that's the mind of Christ. That's the way Jesus Christ thinks. Are you filled with the same power that Jesus was filled with? Notice Ephesians 6. This is verse 10. It says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Be strong in the power of his might. Be strong in the power of God. Verse 18, further down, it says, "Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Pray in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Make the most of your daily spiritual workout to pray earnestly to God, to fellowship with God, to draw near to God. This is one of the better known quotes from The Plain Truth About Healing. Mr. Armstrong here, he's talking about, he's comparing Christians in these latter days to those of the first century, saying that the first century men of God, they were led by that power, that same power that Jesus was led by, because, as he said, they lived and walked close to God and were filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, and we seem to lack that power today, not because God denies us that power, but because we are so close to a modern materialistic world. Our minds are so filled with the material interests of this life. Our minds and our hearts are so far from God. We're so out of touch with him through lack of enough time spent in the study of his word and lack of enough of the right kind of surrendered, submissive, earnest, and heartrending prayer, he says, and consequently, because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit, which affords us the power of God. See, if we're weak spiritually, if we're weak in faith, this is why. This is why, because we just haven't put in enough time in using those spiritual tools. It's because we haven't stirred up the power of God. Be sure each day to stir up God's power. Ask God for more of his Spirit every day. It's a daily renewal, just like it says in 2 Corinthians 4:16. That inner man, it's renewed day by day. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Don't forget the email address if you'd like to email the program. It's td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.